Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com, and check us out on Facebook. Well, when it comes to the pro-life movement, women have always been front and center of the conversation, especially in today's society when the topic of abortion is falsely regarded as a woman's issue. But this is far from correct. Men play an especially an important role in the fight for life. And according to a study from the Guttmacher Institute, the father of the child is the most influential voice in a woman's decision when to get an abortion, with men having their strong of an influence where all the men are in the fight for life. Today's show, we're asking this following question. What is the role of men in the pro-life movement and the realities of abortion? And we have the privilege of sitting at a table at our Pregnancy Medical Center in downtown Birmingham since 2009. And we have spoken with a lot of men, a lot of broken men, and a lot of broken women, because they believe that abortion was the best choice, that abortion was going to solve all of their problems. And we know that not to be true. And so we want you to be a part of this conversation today. So give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you're outside North America, 205-271-2980. Yeah.
So that question, again, brings in two variables here. What is the role of men in the pro-life movement? We want to hear from you, what that means for you. And then what is the role of a man in abortion? And that could be a negative role in that, forcing, pressing this woman to have an abortion. It could be kind of in between, whatever you want to do, I'll support you in that. If you want to abort this child, our child, if you want to carry this child, if you want to do adoption, I'm with you. And then there's a guy that's all in, saying this is our baby. We have to bring this baby to term, as long as that this baby can be brought to term, and do the best that we can for this child's life. And so maybe you had to make a decision like that. Or maybe you have an assessment about that. So men to be pro-life people, and then men and just their involvement with the abortion reality and being a part of the choice with that. We'd like to take a moment to remind you that EWTN is only made possible through the generosity of viewers like you. If EWTN has strengthened your faith or blessed your family, we humbly ask you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to EWTN. EWTNmission.com. Is that the site there? Okay. So we can continue to bring Christ's message to the world. As Mother Angelica used to say, please keep us between your gas and electric bill. We can't do this without you. You can go to EWTNmission.com, EWTNmission.com to donate. And thank you all already for the ways that you've given and your prayers. You make this possible. We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, the theme for today's show is this. What is the role of men in the pro-life movement and the reality of abortion? So we want you to give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you are outside North America, you can reach us at 205-271-2980. And maybe you're a man or a woman out there and you have had an abortion and you haven't healed from that hurt and that wound in your soul and in your life at all. And maybe it was just a secret that you have kept. We want to invite you to go out to optionline.org, or you can give them a call, 1-800-712-HELP 4357. It's a beautiful pro-life ministry where they can help you to heal, to begin that healing journey. Because when we have an abortion in our past and we don't heal from that, our pain in life sometimes comes out sideways. And we have hurt and anger and self-hurt, and it gets way complicated in our lives, in future pregnancies, in future relationships. And I know that the world has said abortion is going to solve this problem. And really what abortion does is just create a whole nother set of problems. So how can you get involved? You want to be a part of the solution, and we want to give you the opportunity. So give us a jingle, and we certainly would love to hear from you.
That optionline.org, Joy, does so many things. It could lead you to post-abortion healing. You put in your zip code wherever you are. It gives you pro-life centers that are helping girls in crisis pregnancy. Maybe you want to volunteer there. Maybe you want to help out in some way. And so just put your zip code in and it'll tell you where a pregnancy medical center is or a pregnancy help center in your area. So that's really, really wonderful. We also want to recommend menforlife.org, menforlife.org. And so we're going to have Sean Corcoran with us. Did you even know there was a group called Men for Life? And we're speaking about men today. What's their place in the pro-life movement? What's their place as regards abortion? And this is the whole ministry is dedicated to that, to helping men to be true men, to restore where needed true masculinity, servant leadership. And so that's there as well. Greg Mayo, Unravel Roots, EWTNRC.com, EWTNRC.com, Unravel Roots by Greg Mayo, who has amazing post-abortion healing ministry for men. Mm-hmm. But also this is, you know, there's so many factors that have led men not to speak or not to be involved for a variety of reasons. There's multiple factors. And he goes through those things. Mm-hmm. And he says, men, we need to get healed up so that we could be the men Christ is calling us to be. Here's a psalm, Joy, Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. Fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them, Psalm 127, 3, 5. We need to restore a culture that loves children, that welcomes children, that hopes for children, that prays for children, that adopts children, that does foster care with children. And so this is part of the healing of our culture and society. I believe that's really beginning to happen, but a love for life, a love for life. And this is critical. What does it mean to be a pro-life man? I forget who said this, but he talks about men need to embrace silence, listening to the Lord. They need to embrace the woman, the wife. We need to be married men, unless God has a particular vocational call to singleness or priesthood. God helps us to embrace delegated authority in our lives. These kinds of things. We need to be those kind of men that hold up the sanctity of marriage and that are open to human life.
Right. Well, you know, we've spoken with hundreds of clients with, you know, sometimes their partner will come with them and sometimes they don't. And when the partners come with them, it's always wonderful. I do love meeting with the men just to hear their heart, to understand their participation in this journey. And some of them comprehend the magnitude of it and some of them don't. And some of them are fatherless men themselves. And therein lies the problem. And 85% of men who are in prison are fatherless. Kevin Burke gave a statistic that 99% of men that were in prison were post-abortive. And so we, as a culture, as a whole society, we have to change the way we are being as human beings, especially men. Because what we've done is, in this whole sexual revolution, we use women, and believe me, women use men, because Miss Joy, we were just talking, that's what they say, but now they're pregnant. And so they say, no, we're not in a relationship. And so we're just using each other in these sexual encounters, but then what's happening is we're procreating children. Children that are unwanted by the mother and the father. And I always say to the girl, when you told him you were pregnant, what did he say? And the conversation is unbelievable. Well, he says to me, what are you going to do about it? Well, she didn't get in that situation all by herself. It's 23 of his chromosomes, 23 of her chromosomes, creates a unique, irreplaceable, unrepeatable human being. But we are in this society and culture where nobody's being responsible. Nobody wants to be responsible for their own actions. And it's kind of like, well, you're pregnant and I don't want to have the baby with you. Well, then if you don't want to have the baby with me, then maybe we shouldn't be having intercourse. Because this is what can happen. But nobody, this is the greatest conversation. I'm shocked that I'm pregnant. I'm shocked. He's shocked. Why are we shocked? We are having intercourse. We're not even using birth control. And even if you were using birth control, it would fail. But now that we're shocked, and now we need to have an abortion because we're so shocked.
Yeah.
So that's where we are as a culture and a society. Men are being silenced by this culture. You don't have a voice. It's a woman's issue. You don't have a uterus, so you don't get to have a voice, which is not true. They have a voice, and they need to speak up. And I'm going to tell you where I think the only place the answer is going to come from is from the church. The church has to rise up, the domestic church, where fathers and mothers are going to raise up sons and daughters to be holy men and women of God and not believe the lie of the culture that I can have sex and there is no responsibility. And if I get pregnant, we can have an abortion and throw away like it's a Coke can.
I'm seeing something up here that we're reading. Study from BMC Women's Health says this. Women who face an unplanned pregnancy turn to the father of the child more than anybody else, according to a study done by BMC Women's Health. And so and this comes up again and again and again, that the man is turned to. She wants to know what that man is thinking. Not in every case, but he knows about it well before anything happens with abortion. And so that's key. Maybe we haven't been living a strong Christian life. We haven't been chaste. All these things, I mean, is what it means to be a pro-life man. But here we are. And many Christians, many Catholics are in this situation, okay, where they've impregnated somebody they're not married to. And what's going to happen here? And that woman's looking at what you want to say. And so it can be, you know, whatever you want to do, I'll support you. Wrong answer. Because that's the best men can do in a society. That society has said, shut your mouth. You have nothing to say. This is a women's issue. You have no part in this. But you do have a part in this. You had a part in creating this child. And so that's not the answer, whatever you want to do. The answer is, this is life. This is the life that we've conceived together. Does it mean you have to get married? No, maybe. But it means like I'm in all the way to do whatever I could possibly do under law and in every way to welcome this child into an existence. I will do that. Whether we're together or not into the future, I take responsibility for this legally and in every way. And so I'm all in on having this child. I do not believe, you know, in abortion. Now, he doesn't have any legal rights, doesn't seem. And so she can go ahead and do what she's going to do. But if we would just speak strongly as a man, even though maybe we haven't been living the right kind of way, it has a tremendous impact on this situation. You know, as for me, this is where I am on this. I take responsibility. That's what it means to be a pro-life man. I take responsibility for my actions. And then we should build up our children in that way. They should have models in men. We need men in the house, in the home, that love children and that are modeling this, you know, within their own family. And, you know, that they will serve the Lord in this way. And guys need to see that. Because we have generations after generations of these guys that are coming in.
Right.
And they don't have fathers, they don't have models, they don't have whatever it is. But it's still written upon the heart of guys.
Right.
You don't have to be necessarily a Christian, a Catholic, a Jew, whatever, to say somewhere that's in there. It's written upon your heart. That
right.
I'm supposed to protect. I'm supposed to defend. I'm supposed to be responsible. You know, John Paul said the opposite of love is in hate. The opposite of love is in hate. The opposite of love is usury. Usury. And so often we're just using one another in these relationships, and then we don't know why we came up pregnant. But when you do, it could be a wake-up moment for you.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, when I'm with the clients, the opportunity when I'll say, what did he say? And she'll say, like you said, what do you want to do? And I said, what you wanted him to do was to stand up, put his arms around you and tell you not to worry, that we got this, and I'm going to be here for you every step of the way, and you are going to have my baby. But guys don't say that. That's what they need to do. And then the girl usually starts crying because he didn't say that. But that was the longing in her heart, because she gave herself to him in that relationship, in the most intimate relationship created by God. And so then she really finds out who he is, that he was just using her for the experience. Or some guys come up missing in action. When I say missing in action, the phone number, you want to talk about ghosting, they block, they're like falling off the planet. And then girls are left and they're hopeless and they're in despair and they think, yeah, abortion has to be the option. So men have to step up. Men have to love. We have to love well. We need to come from good families and good homes. And if you're not, if you're in a church and you're a young man and you've come from a broken family, you need to look for other role models in the church where there are holy men of God trying to live out the gospel of life and love in family and in marriage. Yeah. So you can see that it is different and that God has another plan for you.
To all those that may have done the course of abortion, there's hope, there's healing for this grievous thing that you've been a part of. And some of the greatest spokespersons and merciful people on behalf of the gospel of life are those who face this face to face and have received forgiveness. And they want to help other people. They want to repair the damage that they've done to this culture. Life, marriage, and family is God's plan to transform this world, and He will prevail. And you want to be a part of the solution and not the problem. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, now we're going to go to Joan Lewis to hear her latest report on the current events in Rome. Joan, what do you have for us today?
Well, greetings, Jim and Joy. Pope Leo's second vacation weekend at Castel Gandolfo was marked by a concert in the courtyard of the Apostolic Palace where he's staying. And that was on Saturday night with a wonderful crowd. And then on Sunday, of course, he recited the Angelus with the faithful who had gathered in the square in front of the Papal Palace, Liberty Square. Now, he spoke to them from the front entrance of the palace, not from the Papal balcony. In any case, last July, the Holy Father chose to go to the Papal property at Villa Barberini, adjacent property, where no Pope had been staying at all for the last 12 years. Now, the townspeople were overjoyed to have a Pope in their midst again. And as a matter of fact, they were thrilled this weekend even more, because this time he's staying in the Apostolic Palace overlooking Liberty Square, the town's main square. Now, after the concert on Saturday night, this was offered by the Diocese of Albano, and they wanted to show it as a habit, as a sign of closeness and affection for the Holy Father during his stay. Now, Pope Leo spoke after the concert, and he thanked the violin and piano soloist and also the members of the Orchestra of Parma, and he said he was very deeply moved. They played works by Paganini and Bellini. Now, the Holy Father said to them, "In these moments of beauty, we've truly been able to experience something great, entering what God intended in creation, namely beauty. We live in a world where beauty is lacking. There's wars, violence, hatred, ingratitude, conflicts, so many difficulties. An occasion like this is truly a great gift. It reminds us that men and women, when we choose to, can join together to reveal a beauty that, from heart to heart, helps us see and look heavenward towards God." Now, Sunday at the Angelus, the Holy Father reflected on three parables from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the one of the wheat and the weeds, the mustard seed and the yeast. And he said, these show us how very much God acts in our lives and even in history. He said, the kingdom of God spreads even amidst the weeds, requiring us to train our vision so we can discern the good that sprouts from the darkness of evil, and we avoid rash judgments. It comes like the smallest of seeds, he said, and thus calls for patience, so that we can recognize it in just the little things of daily life and in the simplicity of ordinary existence. So after his words, the Holy Father went down into the square, circulated among the people on foot for a while, and then traveled around the square, it's not a big one, in a small, open, white vehicle. So, on those great stories, back to you.
Joan, thanks so much for another wonderful support. You make us feel like we're right there. Stay cool, it looks pretty hot there in Rome. Mm-hmm. Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we get to continue this conversation that we've been having here today about the role of men in the pro-life movement, the role of men in abortion, pro or con. We're going to have with us the CEO of Men for Life, Sean Corcoran. He's going to join us to speak about how abortion is really a failed product of masculinity. They share their vision as Men for Life is a national pro-life organization whose mission is to change the culture by restoring biblical masculinity, equipping men to speak boldly and stand confidently for life, family, and faith. You're an important part of this EW10 family, and never alone. You're always at home with Jim and with Joy. Bye now.